Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another Friday show, the Chuck and Julie Show. I am filling in for Chuck and Julie today, and Christy Davis is co-hosting with me.
Hello.
Thank you for being here, Christy. For those who don't know, Christy is the chapter chair of Moms for Liberty in El Paso County, but she's basically the chapter chair of Moms for Liberty everywhere because she does so much. And so we wanted to come on today and discuss what's going on in our schools. A lot happened in the last week with SCOTUS, especially last night regarding the books and parental notification and opt-out. And then we also have a really important lawsuit to discuss regarding Title IX, and we've got some great guests on to talk about it. So, Christy, the Title IX lawsuit. Welcome. Thank you for being on.
Yes, thanks for having me. I know we're still circling this over and over and over again, but there are some schools that are taking a stand, and we're here to talk about them and talk to some people involved in the lawsuit today.
So how excited are you about this lawsuit? I mean, we've been talking, you and I have been working together for years, and how many times have we said, like, it would just be nice if we started to win, you know, started to have some positives. And once Trump won, I think we all had a collective sigh of relief because we knew that Colorado wouldn't just be being managed by Colorado anymore. Yeah. You know, there would be some national eyes on our state. So do you think that's kind of what happened, is that we have a little bit of momentum, and so our more conservative, or I would say our more reasonable school districts, are standing up and saying, we've got to do something for our girls. It's time. Like, how far can this go? Why now?
I think they've been getting stronger and stronger since we started getting these school board members in place around the time COVID hit. And they've had enough. And with the strength of the new administration, I think that it has given them more power and to move forward and protect students like they're supposed to, and like they have been trying to do for the past 4 years, and just didn't have the backing that they needed from the federal government.
Right. And so now that we've seen somewhat of a shift, it's like, okay, it's time. Mm-hmm. We've got people on our side now, right? We're not just fighting out here kind of like screaming into the ocean, like, somebody come help us, and there's no one around. So, so the actual lawsuit, what can you tell us about the lawsuit, how it started, and kind of like how it's progressing?
So CHASA, which is the Colorado High School Athletics Association, their current bylaws, it's a current equity code, and it states that it recognizes the right of transgender student athletes to participate in interscholastic activities free from unlawful discrimination and gender identification. It also states that these athletes' homeschools must meet with them to determine their gender assigned for CHASA to review their eligibility. And current Title IX, which the Biden administration had tried to change to include gender identity, and we were able to overturn it back to its original form, states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation and be denied the benefits of or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So with the new executive orders that Trump has passed down that solidify and protect Title VI and Title IX, which is racial and sex discrimination, D49 was the original school district to take a stand and file this lawsuit. And they felt that Colorado, CATA, and CHASA were violating the federal law and putting them at risk of losing federal funding. And so since D49 has filed, within the past 30 days, nine other schools have hopped on with D49. I'm going to name them all so everybody knows. D20, D11, ER BOCES, Montezuma Cortez, Monument Academy, Liberty Tree Academy, James Irwin Charter School, the Classic Academy, and Ascent Classical Academies. So all of those schools have since joined onto the lawsuit. So there's 10 total.
So 10 total schools in Colorado have joined on so far.
Yes.
Okay, and one of those schools or one of those districts is Montezuma Cortez, which has in the past couple of years started to really emerge as a great school district out there. They've been doing a lot of work to protect our students, the kids across Colorado. We have Tom Burris on, and so I'm going to pull him on. So Montezuma on Tuesday night went ahead and passed their resolution to join in the lawsuit. And it looks like they've even taken it a step further because they've got more planned. So, Tom, you are on the call. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Certainly.
Tom is the superintendent out in Montezuma Cortez. Tom, so thank you, first of all. Thank you for standing up. It takes a lot in this climate in Colorado to do the right thing, as we've seen. Tell us, why did Montezuma Cortez decide to join into this lawsuit, and why are you interested in it?
Well, I think let's reverse that question. Why am I interested in it first? And that is, I'm a dad of two young ladies, one who played volleyball during the Biden era. And I thought if she gets hurt by a transgender boy, because they're so much stronger, so much taller, and I'm just going to go nuts. I don't think it's right for that to occur within women's sports. I'm old school. I go back to the original Title IX. That the original Title IX was equity between girls' sports and boys' sports. And it identified girls and boys. So I am not an advocate for exclusion of anybody from sports that they want to play. I'm an advocate for safety for our kids and respect for our young ladies.
Can't hear you, Darcy.
Tom, how old are your children?
My oldest is 20. And my youngest is 18.
Okay. So, I mean, and like you just said, how would you feel if your daughter was playing a sport and her award or her trophy was taken away by a male? Not to mention the safety aspect and just the sexualization aspect of people sharing locker rooms that are of a different sex. I mean,
Yes.
why do you think that people think that this is okay? I mean, what is the, how do
I cannot fathom why somebody would think that was okay. I just can't do it. If my daughter again, if my daughter came in second to whatever that young lady's name that was second to that the guy and then stood up on the podium afterwards,
Right.
kudos to her. She is the champion.
I
Absolutely.
mean, exactly. Have you had any instances out in Montezuma of boys wanting to play on the girls' team?
No, we have not. We did have one transgender boy a couple years ago that wanted to use the girls' restrooms, and that didn't turn out well at the end.
What happened?
There was an allegation of sexual impropriety by him in the girls' restroom.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen all the stuff that's going on with Lily Tino? Christy, have you seen that the TikToker that went to Disney and did like
Yes.
a video thing of every different women's bathroom at Disney?
Yeah. And now there's women saying that they were filmed inside the
They were
women's
filmed. They
bathroom.
were filmed. It's like at what end do these males say, I'm making women feel uncomfortable? Like, how are we accepting of the state laws are so far off the rails? This has to come to a stop. I mean, I really think that the tide is turning. I mean, Tom, how much pushback are you getting out there in Montezuma Cortez? What hurdles have you experienced? Like, what's the board experiencing as far as pushback?
I've got a very conservative board right now, and we did pass the policy at the last board meeting. And I actually signed up to be a speaker at that board
Awesome.
meeting rather than superintendent to tell my story about my daughters. And it's, I feel so strongly about this because of them that I just can't let it go.
That is awesome.
Well,
I
thank
mean,
you for standing up for women and girls because we need it.
Christy, how many times have you seen a superintendent speak in a meeting?
Not from the podium where the
Never.
public comment is had.
Now,
Never.
to be clear, nobody stood up to oppose it. So at the end, I pulled my, and I, of course, I sat right beside my board president, and I pulled my sheet and I said, I don't need to talk because it ran up unopposed. So we're good, but I was ready to do it.
That is awesome. Did you get like did I mean was did the media write about the fact that you spoke? Did any parents call you? Like, what was your personal
No,
experience with?
I didn't end up speaking because
Oh, okay.
I pulled it because nobody spoke against
I
the
see what you're
policy,
saying. Okay.
and we passed the policy with no opposition, so I'm good. But I was ready to do that because I feel so strongly about it.
That's amazing. I mean, that is so unheard. I have to tell you, I don't say this very often. Christy knows me pretty well. I mean, that's really impressive, Tom. That almost gives me goosebumps. Like, Christy and I talk so often about, like, where are our board members and where are our people in the schools? Where are our parents that are standing up? And to hear that a superintendent, somebody in your position, was willing to stand up, that's just awesome. So,
And I told my athletic director this morning, I said, we're not going to play against a team that has a transgender boy on it. I don't think it's fair for our girls. I don't think it's fair for our girls to be put in that position. We will forfeit the game before we do that.
do you have a game like that coming up?
I don't know. But that's going to be our position.
That is awesome.
Well,
Christy,
in
have you heard?
California, they're making that transgender athlete return the medals, aren't they?
Good.
That's exactly what should happen. Have you heard of any schools in Colorado, Christy, that are saying, proactively, we're going to say what we will withdraw from any games, or we will forfeit any games?
I haven't spoken to any of them with that question in particular, but a lot of them are creating these policies. Like, if you look in the lawsuit for D49, it's saying in there, that they're not allowed to use locker rooms, they're not allowed to stay in the same hotels, all of that kind of stuff is in the lawsuit. So I would hope that school districts like D49, D20, D11 that are on this lawsuit, Montezuma Cortez, that they will forfeit the games if they have to, and not put any females at risk from other schools.
And I think that's so important because if you don't take that stand, then what's going to stop it, right? I
Right.
mean, when do we say enough is enough? So if we're saying this is wrong, then the principled stance is to not let our daughters play against males in sports.
Correct.
So no, that makes total sense. It says that I read that Montezuma is now going to move forward and try to amend some of your discrimination policies. And I know you probably can't speak very specifically about that, but it sounds like you guys are kind of just moving totally fully forward in pushing back on Biden's version of Title IX, right?
Yes, the Title IX that I knew, for transparency, I got out of the business for 5 years, and that was basically the beginning of Biden. And I knew Title IX when I re-interviewed for this job. They asked, "Do you know Title IX?" Heck yeah, I know Title IX. Nancy Lopez was an integral part of Title IX. I understand Title IX. It's not the same Title IX, and we need to get back to the real Title IX and what the tenets of that whole situation were is equity for girls' sports.
Exactly. Tom, what would you say to the fact that, there's 10 school districts to date that have joined into this lawsuit, and there's probably over 100 more that, lean red and that could be doing so. As a leader in your community, what would you say to other superintendents and other school districts about, a lack of action or kind of this complacency?
It's a very political arena with boards. I have seven bosses who think differently. The majority of those bosses think the way that I've just expressed. But I feel for superintendents out there who have a bias like I do, based on my daughters, who have boards who say, no, this is okay. So you've got to make a moral choice then about your position in that organization. But I would encourage other boards and other superintendents to sign on. Again, if you respect the young ladies and you value their health and their safety, there is no other choice here.
There is a deadline associated with this. They have to sign on by Monday in order to get onto this lawsuit. So, Tom, did your school also pass the fairness in sports policy similar to D49 and Monument Academy and D11 and
Yes,
D20?
ma'am. Yes. Yep,
That's amazing. Thank you.
that was the policy that was up Tuesday.
Yeah, that happened on the same night as the joint. Okay. Thank you for doing that. I mean, would you, so if there were if in theory there was a district that said, we want to talk to another district, we need help doing this, would you be willing to speak to other school board members to help accelerate this process? Because we have a board or two right now. Christy and I have been on the phone all day with a board that said that they were going to be doing this over the weekend, and it's kind of fizzing out now. I mean, could people reach out to you to hear why you did it and the how positive it's been for your district?
Absolutely, I would. But again, my position on this comes from my personal experience and my personal value system of who should be playing against whom. And you don't bring a Major League Baseball player in and let him play on a high school baseball team. It's
No.
just, that's a good analogy system. Absolutely, I'd talk to him, but my position is, I think, is very simple and very rational.
It is. And I mean, that's why I probably sound like I'm just totally in awe of you. And I think that is important because I'm never like this. And so thank you for all that you're doing out there. And I might text you after this call, depending on what happens with this board. Christy and I have some stuff going on out here in El Paso County, but thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. And if we can ever help you in any way, please let us know. Is there anything that you want to tell our viewers, Tom, about this lawsuit or anything else going out in Montezuma? Any way that we can help you or anything you want us to know?
Well, I would like everybody to know that we've worked very hard on student outcomes in the last 3 years. We had three schools that were on the academic clock. We have none of those on the academic clock now. My assistant superintendent, Eddie Ramirez, and I are dedicated to solid education and education for all and access for all kids to all sports. And it needs to be along the lines of girls' sports and boys' sports. Simple.
It does. I real quick before you jump, I saw a quote by your board member. Is it Mike Lynch?
Mike Lynch, yes.
And he said, so the media asked him, well, is this going to cause some students to leave? And he said, well, it may, but it may also cause some students to come to our district. And I think that that's really important. I honestly could see people watching this or, hearing what you guys are doing out there and saying, okay, this is a more reasonable area in Colorado to raise my kids.
Right. And we welcome everybody. You know what? I worked in the district 25 years ago, at the middle school, and I had a transgender kid at the middle school, very obvious. And I got along with him great, and he was a great kid, and he was included in stuff. But we knew, he didn't play athletics, but we knew.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I mean, I think, and we can, nobody wants kids to like not feel welcome, right? But
Right.
there's a difference between like welcoming kids in and making sure that their needs are met, and then just promoting a whole ideology and hurting the majority.
Correct. And for the third time, it's all about respect for our young ladies and their safety. So if you just can't cross that line, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So again, thank you so much for all you're doing out there. We'll get you guys back on in the next couple of weeks since you have more in store to protect girls and children out there. But thank you so much, Tom. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you
Thank
very much.
you. All right, Christy. So let's talk about some of the pushback that you've had. And I know you don't want to get too far into it, but we've been talking a lot about this today. It's been difficult. There's 10 schools.
Yes, 10.
You
I
want to
know.
briefly talk about what's been going on today? Just, a general rundown of what you're seeing.
So, because we're hitting the deadline for people to join into this lawsuit, we have tried to get other schools to hop on, and now it's getting difficult because we're reaching the end. And a lot of them want to support it, but they don't want to join on to the lawsuit, I guess, has kind of been some of the pushback we've been getting. And so trying to explain that making a statement or making a resolution just isn't as strong as joining onto the lawsuit and taking a stand and standing in the gap for girls with some of these schools has been difficult. So, yeah, we've been on and off the phone the past couple days with board members, and I guess my thing is to not take a stand is taking a stand
Yep, it
because you're
is.
not fighting back. You're not fighting back to protect all students in your school
Yeah.
out of
Let's
fear.
what so what are some of the things that we've heard from some of the districts that kind of aren't taking a stance or just haven't taken a stance? I've heard, well, we're doing things quietly, for example, or we don't want to make waves. What's your answer to that?
So my answer is, you're staying quiet when your students need your voice. Like these girls, they don't need your silence. They need you to protect them. So if you're not going to take a stance and protect them, who is going to take a stance and protect them? Then we'll lose women's rights.
Exactly.
That's exactly what's going to happen. It's sad. And to me, some of these people even have daughters. And I don't understand how you can go to sleep at night knowing that your daughter could be the next one to lose a medal or, be exposed to something in a locker room or be put into a dangerous situation with a male. I have a daughter myself, and I fight for her
Same.
every day, and I am a female.
Same. And I totally agree with you. And I don't, that's where people lose me. I was discussing this with my brother recently. He lives in Chicago, and he said, I don't really understand why you see the trans people in schools as such a big threat. And I
Well,
said,
you had something personally happen to you.
My daughter and I at Villa Sport turned around and there was a trans in the locker room. A semi-erect trans individual just parading around. And obviously, I and several other women complained at the desk, but the way that the laws are written, his feelings matter more than my daughter's feelings. Like his need to expose his genitalia in the locker room won at the end of the day. Over how my minor daughter, who was, I think, 8 at the time, her safety and her feelings. I mean, she had never seen anything like that. And so, like I said to my brother, it's happening more and more, right? So you would go to the gym 5 years ago and this would never happen. And now this is a daily occurrence. There are transgender individuals at the pool, and you can tell watching them that they're enjoying this behavior, right? Because it's pushing the boundaries. And so this is a really psychological thing. And I told my brother, I said, I fight so that you don't have to, because clearly you're not going to. You're not fighting for your daughter, so I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so important is that if we don't fight for our daughters, like, where does this end up?
Yeah, and we need strong people on these boards to fight for our kids because we've had so many moderate board members that just aren't willing to stand up. They want to stay quiet and not rock the boat, not make waves. And in this political climate, I mean, we're fighting for women's rights all over again. And if we don't have strong board members to stand
Right.
behind us, we're going to lose our spaces.
We're going to lose everything. I mean, well, our daughters are going to lose everything. Like at present, right now, they do. They have no safe spaces. They have no rights. And, like you and I have discussed, now that we have President Trump and we're in control of the federal government, a lot of those things are being reversed. But that means really very little because number one, we're in Colorado where Colorado's actively fighting fe the federal government. But number two, I mean, we could foresee a situation where 3.5 years from now we've got Democrats in control again. So if we're not vigilant, like I just don't know what the world looks like. So we have some very moderate Republican boards. And I don't say that because I just wake up every morning and say to myself, what I want to do is I want to trash Republicans, right? But you and I mean, we had a meeting, what, 6 months ago in Colorado Springs, and we went into a really deep discussion about why it's so important to hold these Republicans accountable. And I think that's really important to discuss today as we're in this situation.
Well, you're seeing it with which boards are standing up and which ones aren't. And some of our boards, like D20, we just strengthen that board. Like that board is getting stronger with the candidates that we have on now. And even with D11, I mean, they're standing up stronger than I've ever seen them stand up, getting rid of the master agreement, removing the equity policy, joining the lawsuit with D49 and standing up. And it's really empowering to see these boards that we've been working with for so long actually stand up and do what they're supposed to be doing to protect students, and then seeing boards that we thought were strong now trying to take a back seat is kind of disappointing. So this election cycle coming up in November 2025 is going to be extremely crucial for us to get the right board members in place so that we can have strong conservatives on our school boards during President Trump's presidency, so that we can start removing some of the stuff that was put in place by progressive board members and start moving to push more, dare I say, conservative values, but push more common sense back into schools. Move back towards academic success and away from ideologies, social emotional learning, diversity, equity, and inclusion that are pulling away from our academic scores. We're watching the academic scores plummet. I mean, in D11 alone, when the progressives had control, they were the last in the region academically. And we got that board flipped. We removed that superintendent who was focusing on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and we put a superintendent in place that was focusing on academics. And since then, their academic scores have been going up.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you. I'm more negative than you, let's be honest. Collier was on the show the other day and I said the same thing. He's like, well, I'm going to bring a bit of positivity. And I said, that's cool. I don't bring that. But I agree with you that D11 has stood up and they've really been impressive this year, especially as compared to prior years. I would even say D20 has started to perform better. And
Yes.
D49 as well. I mean, D49 has their issues that, what's his name? Hale.
Mike Kyle. Yeah.
Heil. Yeah, he's a disaster. Okay, your kids are in D38, and you've said something to me several times where we're looking for candidates in D38,
Yes.
and it's hard. We're going to talk about this for a second. So I have put so many messages on the Signal threads. You guys have posted it so many times. Derek Arahe, he is loud looking for candidates in Monument. We haven't had anybody step forward yet, have we?
Not that I'm aware of. Nobody has declared.
Right. So, and then you and I will talk and late at night, and I'm like, all right, we've been putting a lot of effort into this, Christy. Like, why don't we just say, all right, D38 is kind of lost. And what's your response to me? My kids are in D38 too, but they're at a Catholic school. So you're and your kids are not in a public school, but what's your response to me? You're like, my kids are in this district. So describe to me. We've got a liberal that's running in one of the districts, and she's a crazy liberal. She's part of Parasol Patrol. She was out protesting Monument Academy when they did their resolution. She is off the rails. And I'll let you talk about her in depth. You have described perfectly to me. This is why it's important, right? Because if she gets on that board and then there's two moderates, see all the factors that are going on. So talk to me about D38, your kids being in D38, and what's happening.
So D38 has two seats up for election in 2025. D38 is broken into, I believe they call it zones or districts. So there's five
District.
zones within D38. In order to run for the board, you have to live within each of those zones. So right now, zone one and zone three are the two that are up. So you have to live in one of those zones in order to run for this board. But the way that D38 works is all voters vote for those two seats, where D49 is broken into five zones. You have to live in the zone and you can only vote in that zone. And so D38 is a very right-leaning school district, I would say. The
You're talking about the voters or
yes,
the
the
board.
voters. And in order to keep the values of the community in place, we really need strong people to stand up because right now we don't have anybody running for these two seats. And it's important, like I said earlier, for us to get people in place during this presidential administration so that we can keep moving forward and protect students' common sense and academic success. So D38 is number two in the region academically, and they are accredited with distinction, and they are very close to losing that accreditation. And so we want to keep the momentum focused on academics and away from ideologies. And I think if you let somebody like the person you were talking about come in, their push is going to go towards ideologies, and D38 is going to slide down, and we're definitely going to lose accredited with distinction and may not have a chance of getting it back.
Right. And so there's two. So, although they're right at present, there's five board members, there's five board seats, five districts. The two are up for election. That's the Woodmore and Palmer Lake areas. So, if anybody, Woodmore and Palmer Lake, guys, we need candidates in those two areas. So, all of that to say, there's five board members, but it does seem like, two of them kind of lean. They lean a little bit left at times on certain issues. And then you've got one board member who just doesn't even concern himself with politics at all. And he stays pretty focused on budgetary issues. And you ask him anything else, and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. So, like, when if you have a board like that and you get an extreme liberal on there, that can have such a drastic effect on that board. And then you've got these moderates that they kind of go left on certain issues. And it's like, it can be really disastrous.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of contention at board meetings. And so, there's a lot of protests. There's people that come and are very vocal, that we call them the very loud left. They are the minority in most districts down here in El Paso County, but they are very loud. They come in. I just spoke with a teacher candidate the other day, and he said, you get these very loud progressive teachers that come to these board meetings and they speak like they're speaking for all teachers. And because the majority of teachers that are common sense and don't agree with them don't speak up, their voices become very loud. And so you have to have boards that are willing to push back. And so in some of the board meetings that we've seen in D11, D49, and D20, you get this left versus right, clash in board meetings, and it takes a strong board to realize who elected me, who's the
Right.
majority in my community, and to stay grounded on focusing on academics. And so I
Yeah.
think there was a question in the chat of why we think that these boards are staying quiet is in D38 particularly, they haven't dealt with a lot of that backlash and they don't want to. And so to stay out of it, they kind of try to stay a little bit more quiet or moderate. And all it takes is a couple very, very pushy progressives within committees inside the district to push in things that the community doesn't want. And a
Yeah.
board staying quiet because they don't want to make waves can be very damaging to a district.
Right. And I think that's one of the discussions that we've had recently with this board in particular is, well, we want to do things quietly. We don't want to stand up, you know. Okay, but it's your duty to do so. And I've also heard the excuse from certain people, well, we don't want to go around Polis's laws. We want to make sure that we're legally compliant and that we can't get sued and we're not making waves in that respect. And it's like, okay, all of these things, none of this matters. It's your duty at the end of the day to protect and work for as many kids, all the kids as possible. And it's your duty to not abide by unconstitutional laws. And I think that's one thing that our elected officials forget every single day in Colorado. It's the law this, it's the law that. And you and I have discussed this before. If we sat on a school board together and they said, you guys need to do this, you need to open up all your bathrooms to boys and you blah blah blah, you and I would be like, no. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Take me to jail? I mean, it's literally your duty to not abide by unconstitutional laws.
And
And
that's why this CHASSA lawsuit is so important because, you have these districts that are saying, oh, we have to comply with state law. Well, state law is in violation, like you said, of federal law and
right.
constitutional law. Like Title IX says otherwise. And so that's why these districts have said, no state law. We're not going to comply. We are going to go
Yeah.
the federal route. We are going to sue you. And they will most likely win. And that's what it
Exactly.
takes. It takes strong board members.
Yeah.
Push back.
And I think that's again why we're in the situation we're in, where we are in Monument and we don't have a board that's willing to join this lawsuit. So we have to get conservative school board members elected. And I get a call from a friend yesterday out in Durango, and she was like, oh, which governor candidate are you? Listen, there's some great people running for governor. Like, I love so many of them. In fact, that's why I don't even get involved in it. That's part of why I don't get involved in it, because it's like, what, I'm gonna pick one of my six friends? Like, that sounds fun. Okay. And then I lose five others. And for a race that there's so much focus on right now in our party. And I said to her, I was like, girl, like, what is going on with your school board elections? What's going on with your city council? Like, your mayor out in Craig, he's great. Like, what are you guys doing? And we're in, okay, it's June 27th. And we said in March, we said, back in February, I really hope that the state party and the county parties start to take school board elections seriously. And here we are. It is June 27th. So we have less than 5 months, and we don't have candidates in so many districts. And we're not raising money for school board candidates. So it's important for, like, why aren't Republicans focused on protecting our kids? Our entire platform is family and rights. And it's like, this is the most important battle we could possibly have. So we've
And the
got to find
Democrats
forward.
are, that's the sad part, is that the Democrats are focusing on taking back our school boards. I
What are you
just heard the
saying
other
to them right
day
now?
that the teachers union is sinking 1.2 million into just D11 to flip the D11 board back. D11, we do have candidates in.
We could never raise that. I mean, we could never, not even with like the major conservative PACs behind us. See, and that's the thing. They are starting to come for us. Like last cycle, they spent so much money across the state compared to what we spent. And it was not just in the school boards, it was in the county commissions and the city councils. So, I mean, again, use D38 is the classic example. If a liberal gets elected to that board in 2025 because we didn't take it seriously, and then we get another moderate or whatever, that's going to have drastic consequences for the children of like what 20,000 families.
Yeah, and the same thing is going to happen in D49 if they're not careful. Like, it only takes one of the two seats up in D49 for the same thing to happen.
Because hot, there's Heil and then there's
Marie Laverne, right?
right. And so D49, how many seats are up in November?
Two. So Jamie Lynn's seat and Lori Thompson's seat are both up. And I believe they're both running again. I'm not sure if they've declared. It's kind of on the fence. But
Okay, yeah,
I
that's
think
the
there's already a Democrat that has declared in Jamie Lynn's district. I believe I heard that yesterday.
okay. So D49 is at serious risk too. But D11, I mean, D11 is probably not at risk, but we have to take it seriously.
D11 will have four sitting board members. But yeah, like you said, we do have to take it seriously because if we lose all three in this election cycle in 2027, they just have to gain one more and we lose that board again.
Yeah. So clearly, no, none of the local or, the state party, we're probably going to have to do again what we did a couple years ago and start figuring out all across the state and then do endorsements all across the state and all the things. And I would venture to say I think there's what, like 100 seats up this year.
I'm sure there's a lot. I
I
couldn't
don't know.
tell
We
you the
have a lot,
number.
and like we can talk about it in later shows too. But like Denver, okay, Denver, even that's important. Like we involved ourselves even in Denver this last cycle, and it was important. Denver even said, "We're so done with this." They did. They elected three non-union candidates, and people said at the time, like, "Why did you guys even talk about Denver?" Like you definitely. You definitely endorse Democrats, right? And I did. There was no, but here's the thing. It was to get people in those seats, any effort to get union out of seats too. Like, even if you're just talking about Democrat districts or whatever, getting union candidates out of those seats is also important. Like, we've to start weakening the union
Yeah, we
on
need
day
to.
letters.
They're all threatening federal funding for these school districts by what they're bringing in. I mean, Moms
Exactly.
for Liberty, we have a reporting system that goes right to the DOJ where you can report Title VI and Title IX violations of race and sex discrimination to us. And we have a reporting tool that gets right to the Department of Justice to
Can
report
you put that link in
violations.
the chat?
What's that?
Or actually, we can send that out later, unless you just remember it by heart. But that's really important. Like, that needs to get out to our viewers.
Yeah, well, they can contact me
Okay.
through the Moms for Liberty El Paso County Facebook page or the website. My email address is ColoradoMom for parental rights at outlook.com, and the four is spelled out FOR. I can type it in the chat too.
Thank you.
If you find any violations of Title IX or Title VI, any diversity, equity, inclusion, or critical race theory, we're reporting it, and the reports are going straight to up to the top. We just found out 2 days ago that we actually have a meeting room in the White House for Moms for Liberty
Yeah.
now.
That's awesome. And you were just at the White House recently.
I was.
Tell us about that.
So Moms for Liberty had a large hand in helping to get President Trump elected. And so one of the things that he promised our national leaders was that Moms for Liberty would have a seat at the table. And so they created this thing inside for chapter chairs that's the seat at the table. So we get to go up there once a month for different events at the White House. And so we got because it's June and we are declaring it Parental Rights Month, we were able to go to the White House and get a private tour and got a private tour of the Capitol and got to
Awesome.
go to the balcony of Mike Johnson's, Speaker Mike Johnson's office. It was really fun. But it was right before all that stuff happened with Iran, so we didn't get to meet
I'm sorry.
anybody too important, but it was fun. Sebastian Gorka gave us a private tour of the White House.
Yeah, and thank God that they did what they did in Iran. I'm just going to say it on this call. We should do more of that. But no, you do so much. You deserved every bit of that. I always joke about it. Like people will see the pictures of, like inauguration, being on a plane and things like that. And then like even you, pictures of you at the White House. And it's like, yeah, but for every one of those, there's like how many of us, how many nights of us driving to Durango and like stopping at the gas station for snacks and like just being exhausted, So it's awesome when you get to do stuff like that. So the Supreme Court last night, let's talk about that for a second.
Yes.
So the Supreme Court ruled that they're handing it back down to the lower court to figure out, but essentially that parents can opt their children out of graphic or LGBTQ materials in schools.
Yes. And it, the
And
ruling came from Maryland. So it was a Maryland mom. And there was a bunch of religious groups in on the lawsuit because they were forcing kindergartners K through 12 to learn about LGBTQ in curriculum. I'm trying to pull up all of the details.
okay.
So it
Yeah.
was Montgomery County Public Schools was the district in
Okay.
Maryland.
Now, obviously, it's not a final ruling, but it's a signal that this isn't going to continue. So, all the books that we've been bringing to the attention of everybody, and the crazy Democrats are like, oh, there's nothing going on here. And then they go read them on the House floor at Congress, and everybody loses their minds. And they read them at the schools, and everybody loses their minds because we've all seen them. They're disgusting. And if you guys haven't seen them, well, Christy, we'll also get you a link to some of these books. It's time to revisit this subject now that we are making some progress, right? Because back then, I think there was a lot of noise when we first started talking about it. Especially because how many the Democrats' messaging campaign. It was like they're bigots, kids should have the rights to a diverse group of books and they want to suppress speech and all the things. But like, be honest, like talk about the books for a second because when I do it, I'm going to say my craziness. So go ahead.
So a couple of them, they break it down in this one article. So I'm gonna read from here. So it says, "What are your words? Tell students in a similar age range that one's pronouns can change like the weather and follows one child who briefly embraces they them pronouns." In a book called Born Ready, a little boy gets confused about how his sister is transitioning into a boy, prompts the mother to inform him that not everyone needs to make sense. So these were some of the books that they were trying to remove from that Maryland school. But I mean, we've seen way worse.
Right. Oh, I mean,
Like Sapphire, Push, was it Push by Sapphire or something? Take Back Our Schools is a group in town that has been really researching into these books,
yeah.
and they have a massive list, and they have the rating system that goes from 0 to 5. And I mean, some of these books are just awful. They're age
They're
inappropriate,
just,
they're sexually graphic.
dude. I
Yeah.
mean, they're not even the type of stuff that you would hear like grown 40-year-old men joking about drunk with no kids around. Like it is foul, disturbing. I mean, there's people that are suing when their children have been exposed to it. It's
Yeah.
craziness.
And then
So,
you have school board candidates like the one we were talking about that's running in D38. And when somebody posted,
oh,
the list of books that were removed from the Elizabeth School District, her
yeah.
comment was, "Now I have my summer reading list."
It's just, I mean, so. All right, so what kind of parent, what kind of person without kids, right, is like, you know what I really want is, you know what my hill to die on is? For kids to have access to books where they describe graphic sexual acts, and they're so graphic that they read worse than the transcript to a pornography to porn. And it's fringe. And I
Yeah, it's
don't.
graphic rape, it's bestiality, and it's incest between fathers and daughters. I mean, this is stuff that's in schools.
There's gay orgies, they describe gay orgies and directing kids to do graphic acts in these books. Okay, so anybody that was advocating for this, like, you have lost your mind. Okay, there's no justification. And if you want your kids to read that, like, there's Amazon. I mean, you could just buy the books, right?
Or you can go to the public library. They love to have their banned book sections.
Oh, they love it. Because
But not in schools. Schools should they should be academic rich, geared towards curriculum.
yeah, and the Supreme Court obviously agrees, right? Like, we've gone off the rails, so things are coming. So this battle we fought forever is now, and thank you to Elizabeth Schools, by the way, who has consistently fought this for years, and especially Heather Booth. I mean, just great people out there. Brad Miller's been helping them. Anyways,
And
so
Superintendent Snowberger,
oh my gosh,
amazing
he's
job.
great. So now all these people that were great, like, they can actually do things. So what does this mean for people in Colorado? Say your kid's in a school right now where there's these books, and the board's like, oh, we can't do anything, because let's be honest, the Democrat board members were saying that, and so were the Republicans. So what advice should we give to parents right now, or to people right now who say, okay, it's time? Like, obviously the winds have changed. What would you do if you were a parent and they found these books in the schools? Should they call you? Should they, I mean,
Yeah, I mean, we can help with that kind of stuff. We're trying to get to some of these boards to create policies in their schools that try to keep a lot of these things out of the schools if it's age inappropriate.
yeah.
Same with curriculum. I think that the Maryland case in particular really brings up the point about curriculum in general, because they were forcing this on these people. They were not allowing the parents to opt out. They allowed the parents to opt out up until a certain point. There were so many people opting out that it was difficult for the school to
Yeah.
accommodate the opt-out students. And instead of
Hold on one
realizing
second.
maybe we
Collier's
should.
on the call too, just real quick. He's on the call too. So Steve's going to jump in on this conversation about what we should do with parents. So keep going.
Okay.
As long as
But they stopped allowing these parents to opt out, and that's when they decided to go forward with this lawsuit. And I think it's really important for parents in Colorado to understand that there are opt-outs for a lot of different things. Our website, which is the momsforliberty.org, and then if you go to the El Paso County chapter, scroll all the way down to the bottom, we have opt-out forms. And if you can't find them, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is in the comments. I can get them to you. But it's important to know where your opt-out forms are. And if your school has any sort of curriculum review, make sure that you're participating in that. I know that
yeah.
D38 has a really good process for curriculum review. They put the all of the information out for 2 weeks. You're allowed to review it, submit comments, and then the board doesn't vote until they get those comments.
Yeah.
And that's important, just to know what curriculum is in your school and know that it's law. You're allowed to look at that curriculum at any time.
Thank you. So that's a ton of information. So now that Steve's on the call, you've seen what we've been talking about. He jumped on. He was planning on getting out. Thanks for being here, Steve, and thank you, Christy. Everyone's here. So we're just talking about the Supreme Court ruling, all the stuff going on in schools. As you know what's going on in Douglas County, the makeup of your board. What advice would you give to people in Douglas County right now, given everything that's going on?
Sorry, you repeat your question there?
So, given the Supreme Court ruling last night where parents can now opt their kids, and then given, like, the makeup of your board, the fact that, like, people are lackadaisical in the upcoming elections, what advice do you have for parents with all the circumstances right now with President Trump in Douglas County? Like,
Yeah.
you're a parent.
On the advice side, sorry that I misheard the question. Well, groups like Christie's are huge,
Yeah.
right? So like there's already been roadmaps that have been set up for parents, because before organizations like Moms for Liberty come up, it's kind of this wonky navigation. Does anyone even really need to do it? But obviously, as we've seen post 2020 and 2021 with COVID and the vaccination stuff, discovering that DEI issues and CRT related things are just hiding in plain sight within curriculums, it's organizations like Moms for Liberty that have really shown
Yeah.
the way. We have a chapter, it's that is ran by Representative Brandi Bradley, who represents House District 39. So what I would tell parents is if you the easiest way, if you're really having difficulty finding it, would be just you should be able to connect with your local Republican Party. And we
Yeah.
know these individuals who are fighting for conservative values within the school district, even though they may not be organized or connected to the Republican Party, but it's certainly people who are aligned with the same principles and values. And so, of course, that's why, I know Christy and have worked with Christy before. So that's what I would say to parents is if these things are important to you, and hey, they really should be important to you.
Every little
If you
issue,
don't know where to
like,
start, right. If you don't know where to start, at the very least, Google your local Republican Party and they should be able to get you connected, and more so Moms for Liberty. I mean, that is that if you're going to go anywhere, they're going to be able to put you on the right track. And if they don't know, they know where to send you.
and
Yeah.
if you
And
feel really compelled to make a change, we need you to run for school board.
thank you. And yeah.
Maybe that was the plug we were searching for, perhaps, but
That's, and obviously all of us will be doing that. So you guys, if you can run for school board and help in any way, contact one of us. Thank you all, and thank you to Chuck and Julie for letting us do this. You guys have a great weekend.
thanks for having me on,
take care.
Darcy.